Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our very special program this morning. Those of you who were here last night heard a very wonderful introduction to the Chandogya Upanishad. Swami Sarvadevananji made a very basic distinction between two different types of spiritual paths, you can say, we find in the Upanishads. One, Upasana, which involves a type of mental worship or meditations with some symbolic elements to it, and the other, that hard path straight up the mountainside of reasoning and realization of our oneness with the Brahman. So Swamiji will continue with the exposition of the Chandogya Upanishad. Very happy that he's here. This session will go for 1 hour, and then there'll be a half hour question and answer. 12:30, we'll break for lunch. Then we'll meet back here at 1:30. There'll be another hour session, and then question and answer for half hour. So it will go till 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Om appayantu mamangani vakranas chakshu srotram matavalam indriyani cha sarvan sarvam brahma upanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam mama brahma nirakarot anirakaranamastu tadatmane nirateja upanishat sudharmaha te mai shantu om shanti shanti shantihi om. May all functions of our minds, the works of our bodies, and the activities of our senses please this almighty Brahman who is described in the Vedanta. May we not forget him. May we realize his presence in us. May we not be forsaken by him. May all divine qualities adorn our souls and bring peace to our minds. Om peace, peace, peace be unto us all. This is the chant, which is the chant of the Chandogya Upanishad. Before starting, this is the peace chant. So we have started with that. Yesterday, as Swami Atmajnanandaji just mentioned, these 8 chapters of this Chandogya Upanishad, out of that the 5 of them are dedicated to mostly to this worship of Pratika. It is called the Upasana. Upasana, we have described yesterday, its result is limited, and it is always takes us from the level of this mundane life into the life of introspection. It helps us to go inward, but ultimately knowledge removes all darkness, and knowledge brings wisdom and freedom. That is the, all the Upanishads teach like this. So Upasana, or offering our concentrated focus on something which is not Brahman, but thinking it to be Brahman, that means our mental modifications to bring in our mind the waves of that type of thought, that is called Upasana, and that is a great help in our spiritual life for we, the beginners. And then gradually as the mind unfolds and purifies, naturally it will be ready to have the ground for understanding the truth, which is Satchidananda, or which is absolute truth. But this Upanishad is very much replete with the thoughts of the absolute Brahman. Wherever they start, even they are talking about the Upasana part, but they, in between, they bring the concept of the divine everywhere. So I will just give, to yesterday was the introduction. It was little on the details of what is Upasana and what is the distinction between that with the some gyan and knowledge. So we have discussed those. Today I will just go through the Chandogya Upanishad, focusing on some special verses, just to give an impression, that overall view of the Chandogya, so that you feel more interested to study for yourself. And not that everything will be appealing to us, because we live in a different time period, where we are not familiar with the ancient examples given in the Upasana and these Vedic rituals and what is called Himkaro, what is called Udgita, what is Prastota. These are the terms used for doing something in the Havanam, the home of fire. So to get introduced into that type of thought and to understand the implication is a long process. Those who have time, they can totally focus on that. But for us, we just have a glimpse of what are those, and we can skip those verses. As Ramakrishna said, in the scripture there are essentials and non-essentials. But in Vedas we cannot say it. Anything is non-essential. You cannot say anything written in the Vedas or the Upanishads is non-essential. But for our mindset, it is. We will see that Kali Yuga, our time is short. Rather, we focus on the essential part which hits our heart directly and takes us to the truth. So that is our approach should be. So when he started the Upanishad, you find that very first Upanishad in Chandogya Upanishad verse, chapter 1, and it starts with Om iti etad aksharam. This akshar, this letter, Om, is Udgitam. It is the beautiful part of the chant of the whole Vedas, as it were. So the Rishi says that you chant this Om verse. Om. And what you chant, what does it mean? It means this Om, to glorify that, to draw the attention. He's saying, Eshara Shanang Rasatama. It is the sweetest of the sweet, no? All the honey, as if it is the essence of all rasa, sweetness, honey, because it is Udgita. That is the glorious part of the... That just to glorify something so that ordinary mind gets attracted to that chant or to that type of upasana. And then he said that if you do that, nana tu vidya, there are different types of vidya, cha avidya, which is, you can say, secondary knowledge. But you are to jadeva vidya karati, that it is done with knowledge. You do this upasana. We normally do the ritual, no? If you know the ritual, the meaning of it, vidya, with knowledge, then it brings greater joy. But if we don't know the meaning also and sit before the puja, we feel joy. So Upanishad says, yadeva vidya karati, which you do with knowledge, sadhaya, with your devotion and faith, Upanishada, and also mentioned in the passages of the Upanishad, tadeva birjo attaram bhavati, that becomes being strength and power in your life and energy in your life. That's the kaluetasya vyakshara supavakkanam. This is the explanation of the akshara. You understand the meaning of akshara. You understand what force is behind it, and with it faith and devotion, follow this and perform this practice of upasana, mental idea about this indication, what the Om indicates. If you do that, then you will feel that power which is coming. And then he continues that how to reach this. He says that, you know, you have to atmanam antato pasritto. This cannot be done with a distracted mind. So you pull your mind inside. Atmanam antataha, inwardly, upasritya stubita. And apramatta abhyasa. That practice should be relentless practice, not unstopped practice. And if one can do, then yat kama stubita iti. That result you will achieve, whatever you want. So, therefore, what is this Om? They say, it says that that Om is the second personality. It is just whatever you see that is all Om. They explain that everything you see that is Om. Ah, this Aksharam Idam Sarvam, everything you see that is Om. But how we do worship, then you take as a symbol. It is the symbol of that infinity. So, if you can do that, then you are a knowledgeable person. If you focus on the Akshara, Etadevam Vidvan Aksharam Pranoti, they salute this Akshara. Akshara means maybe the word as also the Om. And for that, by that chanting and practicing, they enter into their immortality. And then we find that it goes on. Beautiful verses of meditations are there. Say, one verse I'll refer. It says that Brahman, that who is indicated by this Om, na nimlocho na udayayo kadachana, it does not rise or it does not set. Deva, teno ahang satteno ma virodhisi. That is that truth, and truth does not contradict with anything. And if one can think in this way, then they also become that effulgent self, that light, which does not come, which does not come. He identifies in that level and becomes one with that Brahman. So this is the symbolic worship of the external sun. The sages are saying that we don't forget this, that the sun, material sun, has its loss every day and it will extinct one day. But Brahman is not like that. It is Swayam Jyoti. It is self-effulgent. And that sun has no rising and setting as we have material sun. That sun, eternal sun, is imperishable. It is undecayable. It is infinite, one absolute, and that is the essence of all Vidya, science, and that is the Madhu Vidya, the science of honey, enjoying honey in the spiritual level. And then here we find that they are giving the example of the sun, to meditate on the sun as a symbolic. That is the Upasana part is coming, and that Gayatri Upasana is the part of it, that it is all perfected everywhere. It is Mahima, it is the glory. Tavanasya Mahima Tato Jaya Gunsya Purusha Padasya Sarva Bhutani Tripadasya Mritam Devi. So this is actually the Gayatri Upasana, what we do, Bhur Bhuvasya, etc. and beyond. So it is like taking this material sun. They are asking, teaching us to focus on the sun and see how the effulgent sun is always shining. So the eternal sun is like that, and meditate on that jyoti. It is Sve Mahimini. But this sun depends on something else. But that sun, eternal sun, stands on its own divine glory. Sva Mahimna, its own glory. And also you can say, if you say it is standing in its own glory, glory is a term, a relative word, then he says, no, we cannot say there is any glory. It is, there is nothing else but that. So how can you say, na mahimne iti, there is no mahima. As one side it is glory, it is his glory, this universe is his glory, but he is beyond all glory. And you cannot say it is glory, you cannot say it is not glory. So this is the Vedantic way of inexplicable reality. Beautiful meditation is given in the third chapter. One verse is there. This Upanishad gives us glimpses of the truth in different ways, in such a way that you can spend your time, like that Upasana. Through that Upasana, you can lift yourself to the truth itself. It says that this beautiful verse, Atha Jat Atha Paro Divo Jyotir Dipyate. So, you see, Yat Atap Paro Divo Jyotir Dipyate. In this earth, what you see, that jyoti, the light. In the daytime, you find the light, which is vishchato prishteshu, which we feel on the surface of the earth, sarvata prishteshu, and everything where you find anything, it reflects there. Anuttameshu, uttameshu lokeshu, in the higher region or the lower region, it lights everything. Tat jat idamasminanta purusha jyoti. That's light you see in the external. This is silent meditation. One can sit and see the light in the external world, reflected on the trees, plants, in the deep, dark areas, as it is all lighted everywhere. So that antajat jat anuttameshu uttameshu lokeshu, what is there even in this earth or higher planes or lower planes? But tat jat idamasmin antapuruṣe jyoti, that the light which is within you, that light and this light, these are the same. And you want to feel this light, this presence of this consciousness, how? Tasvesha drishti yad atro idamasmin sarire sangasparshena usnimanam bijanati. So you want to think that it is, you have to say that I have seen that divinity. I have realized that for every moment. So you can feel that light which is outside, that light is inside. That light is the light behind every entity. That is the immanent and transcendent reality. It is, we have to say that immanent reality and transcendent reality are one. And you have to say, I have experienced that. How will you say that you have experienced that? He says, you touch your body. Jatusnimanam bhavati. There is a temperature, no? We call it temperature. You feel that is the light, that is the heat. That consciousness. See? There is the word that, where is God? God is nowhere. And God is now here. This is the Upanishad, sometimes gives us a very clear and straight direction. You want to see God, you don't want to see the light anywhere. You see the light what is outside, that is the same light in you that illumines all your experiences. So meditate on that. I am seeing you, how do I see? A dead body will not see. There is some light inside. And that consciousness which illumines all these things is the same light manifesting in a light form in the. So, and then he says, you have to say that drishti and shruti, that light is, I have seen. How can you see? You see by touching your body, the heat of your body, in the breathing, the breath it is going on, that is his presence. That's the direct experience. Like if someone puts the stethoscope and can feel the sound, you press your ear lobe, you see the sound, that is the sound of Brahman. That is the sound of Om going on. Isn't that a beautiful idea? That we said, we don't know God, where is God? Don't do anything, just press your knee and see what sound is you. Now you are having Brahmagyana. We can ask you $100 to give this knowledge. Easy Brahmagyana, na? Just you press. No, it is true, it may be superficial, but really, if you can feel that, you want to see the presence, Upanishad is helping us. Jat atrausnimanam bhavati, that which is the heat, temperature you are feeling, that is that. Tasvaisha shruti, you see, that is his hearing. Jat atro karna abo apikriccha ninadam ivo nadathurivo. You see, press your heart, you see like a sound continuously going on, like that of the beating of the drum, or like that of the fire, as if somewhere big, huge bonfire, and the sound of that, you can press it, and you can feel it. See, now, both together you press. There is some, do you feel that, some sound? Or like the flame, you know, in a burning flame, if you just stand in a very silent night, if you have any experience of dhuni fire, you sit, the crackling sound of the fire wood, but you sit there, and in that silence you can feel this type of sound. See, ancient sages, they have given us the example in which environment they used to live. They have not modern gadgets, they could have given some other examples. But they are talking about that reality is here itself, you can feel. That is the consciousness, that is the Brahman, that is the reality. You say, I have seen him, I have experienced him. All his whole life, as a devotee, you say, oh, nothing happened, I am doing japa, and I am not seeing anything, I am not experiencing anything. Have this experience now. So, Upanishad declares that it is tad eta drishtan cha shrutan cha iti. Say, I have seen him, I have heard him. Seen him by touching the heat, body heat, the breath, feel it this way. I have seen means I have observed it. No. And shrutam, it is hearing, it is feeling. So both two experiences Upanishad is hinting at. Tad eta drishtan cha shrutan cha iti upasito. You do your upasana feeling that you have seen God. You have felt that truth within you by touching, by covering your earlobes and feeling that this sound is coming from that sound. It's a, upasana means again linking with this. No, it is probably a mental thought. You may think as it is going on. You see, it is continuously going on. If you 24 hours press your earlobe, you will find 24 hours it is going on. At the night time you are sleeping, even someone presses your earlobe, you will continue the same. So that is the symbol that how continuous something is there, relentless of any environment. It is continuously there. And your body temperature is continuously there. So why don't you say you have seen God, you have seen fear as a symbolic way. So this is the grand idea. Yayevam Veda, he who knows this, Yayevam Veda, twice. Twice means it is emphasizing that this is called knowledge. Not the absolute knowledge, not that because we have pressed our earlobe, we have got all Brahma Jnana. But we can practice this as Upasana. Understand the point. This is called Upanishad, reading of the Upanishad. Reading of Upanishad is not intellectual reading. And really to understand, read one line, how you can relate in your life, and you can meditate this 1 month. Feeling the presence of the consciousness in the way in which level we are here, we can connect with this, that it is His light, His presence, His existence, which I am feeling. Don't say, I don't know Him. Say, I know. I don't know directly, aparoksha. It is not aparoksha, but it's paroksha. Two terminology we use, paroksha and aparoksha. Paroksha means, I see you. It is paroksha, because it is not direct. In a direct, of course, I say, I see you directly. But directly means you are seeing through your eyes. With the defect of your eyes, you see wrong. With the defect of your mind being disturbed, you will see the same person or object differently. So these are the different levels through which your perception, real perception, is getting cluttered. Aparoksha means get out of the senses and just see the thing as it is. Then you feel, that is called the transcendental experience. But you have to start at certain point. That's why these verses are wonderful. And even in the same chapter, It's called Chandilya Vidya. So we referred a little bit of that. What is that? It is first verse is Sarvam Kulu Idam Brahma Tajjala Niti Shanta Upashita. Beautiful. It says everything Sarvam Kulu. Sarva means everything. Kulu means surely. Surely everything what you see is Idam Brahma. This is Brahman. But I don't see Brahman. Hello, you don't see Iki. Everything has come out. You see the material world, the sun, moon, stars, galaxies, and from down to the plants, animals, etc. That jaw has come out of that. One word, jaw. Jayate. It has come out of that. Tad olan, tad jalan iti. To say this word, it takes even 1/10 or 1/20 of a second. But what an idea pregnant into it. Deep and profound thought. Tat jaw. You think that it's the infinite ocean of consciousness out of which waves are coming. Tat jaw. And the stars and galaxies, the earth, and its different bubbles inside, are all coming out of that infinite ocean of consciousness. And look at the world in that way. It has come out. It has sprung from that ground of infinity. That jaw. And is standing there as the wave stands in the ocean. It stands for quite, you are reading Ashtavakra. Now you know? Yeah. Wow, you know these ideas very common. Common examples are given, no? Ocean and waves and ripples. These ideas are, many times it is referred because that's a very beautiful way of thinking unity of this in the diversity. So here is the same idea. Tadja, tadalan, and then when the wave subsides, where does it go? It subsides in the same source. So what you saw as a wave, you saw as a wave, but it is only that truth you have seen. You have named it as wave. You have named it as little spark of realities in between the same one as it diverges. So, therefore, what to do? You see, here is the question. Word also, upāshita. Therefore, you do upāshana. What is upāshana? Bishanta. Unless you become calm, your mind become poised, you will not be able to grasp this truth. So first be calm, shanta, and then upāshana. Do that mental, create your mental, your mind in a ripple of Brahman consciousness in this way, that whatever you are seeing, it is only that same Brahman, only in different manifestation, but it is coming from the same Brahman, ocean of Brahman. Ocean of consciousness. So you can look at the world differently. The viewing the world is the question. How we can view. And that itself is upasana. It is not asking you to do japa. It is not asking you to do fasting today. It is asking you see the world, but don't see the world in your wrong way of looking as you are habituated from your early childhood. But look at this thing as a veritable expression of that Brahman. That is the upasana. That is your struggle. How to project that concept and create a mental wave in us so that that wave will always inspire us to feel that it is the divine. Though I see in a matter, material way, but it is really, Upanishad declares it is the only Brahman. Therefore, ato khalu kratnumayo purushaha. No? Otherwise, if you don't do that, why you do this? This upasana, because life is krotu. Krotu means work, jagna. They call jagga. In the early days, jagga idea or havanam idea, and now the idea of work. Krotumaya purusha. Every one person is living and performing some action. And yathakrotu asmin loke, as the way of your work you do and think, Purusho bhavati tatha ita pratyo. When you leave your body, you get into another body. According to your karma, you will reach the next life. So therefore you now think in this way, because krotu is very important. Your action, your thoughts are very important. How you live the life is very important. Live in this type of consciousness. These are, you know, if we go one or two verses, then we can finish 1 hour. But it is just to give a touch of that, and you will be able to read your, these are the Upanishads to be read whole life, taking one verse at a time. Another verse in the same chapter says, how to meditate on this Brahman or this type of upasana. Upasana is we cannot exactly see what is the ultimate truth, but we are imposing some mental image, creating some mental image about the truth. So it says, manomayo prana shariro. Manomayo means, though it is beyond all perception of your mind, mind is too limited to fathom the infinite breadth and reality of Brahman, but you have to take the help of your mind. So, though it is beyond mind, but it is to be observed through the mind. So, it is everything is happening in the dancing of your mind. This is not whatever we are seeing in the world, it is a dance of our mind. And that is our perception. And it is prana sarira. You see, what is the, you want to feel that Brahman? It is the prana, that breath which is going on and giving sustenance to the survival of our life. That is the prana, that is his sarira, not this sarira. This body is external. You go deeper into it and try to find that prana sarira. That's why shukshma sarir, that means you go to that level and that is the body behind body. Five koshas they talk about. Bharupo, you want to meditate on that? Try to feel that it is of the effulgence. And in your own consciousness, feel that it is of the light or effulgence. Bha. Bha means jyoti, duti, light. And satya sankalpa, it is all Brahman is truth and truth alone. And it is unchanging truth. It is unchanging. Your sankalpa means resolution. It is that truth is the only truth which does not change. And your sankalpa, maybe today you can desire for something, you can make another resolution tomorrow. But this sankalpa is the sankalpa of truth, resolution, absolute truth. And then, also you can think that satya sankalpa means this divine play is going on in its own wish. It is not dependent on someone else. So sarvam sarvagandha, you look at everywhere, therefore there is a fragrance, it is that. Sarvakama, sarvarasa. Different definitions are being given and one can look at those objects as a symbol, symbolic expression of that Brahman. That's the upasana. But what is this Atman like? Beautiful verse. Esha ma atma antar hridaye. This Atman we are talking about, this Brahman which is absolute outside, that same Atman is ma antar atma antar hridaye. In the deeper depth of your heart, it is there. Aniyam, it is the finest and the finer, subtlest than the subtle. Mind, what do you call? Onu? Onu is called atom. It is subatomic. They have used the word onu. So, that means to indicate the finest and the subtlest and the subtle. So, onu, aniyam, briherva, javadva, sarsapadva, samakadva, samakatandulatva. They are giving the example of the smallest type of grains which the society knew in those days to indicate how Brahman is finer than that. He's saying, Samaka, job is what? Job, wheat. Wheat seed, that big, do you think like that? No. It is much finer than Javadba, Sarsavadba, Sarsav, mustard seed. That's much finer than your wheat. And then sarsapadva, shamakatma, samakatandul. There is another type of rice proverb available. It's called samakatandul, samak grain of rice. So this much finer. Like that is given, that, and that is in your heart. Subtlest than the subtle, subtlest than the subtle. No? See how helping, the Upanishad is helping us to think that this is, you think the smallest thing, maybe the rice grain? No. Or wheat grain? No. Go down, finer. What do you think? It is a
mustard seed? Oh, no, 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 no. Much finer than that. That means giving an idea at finer and finer. And then at the same time saying, Jayan Prithibi. You want to see that Brahman? It is greater than that of the earth, the whole earth. Jayan Antarikshat, that you see interspace. How many stars and galaxies are there? It is greater than that. Jayan Divo Dulok, Sargalok. You think that this world is so much? Sarga, the heaven. We have Hindus, different heavens. So one, not one heaven. This earth is nothing. Swarga has seven heavens. Hindus has seven heavens. And you can reach there according to your good karma, which hotel you want to go. It's five-star hotel or seven-star hotel, that hotel. So, antarikshat jayan divo jayan ebho loke ebho. You think that all these different planes of existence is there, different lokas, add all together, it is vaster and vaster and vaster than that. See, anuraniyan, mahato mahiyan, these are the Upanishadic message in many Upanishads, but here beautifully given is a upasana, is a part of your upasana. See how he is helping. Upanishad, you think that he is the subtlest here and the minutest of the minute, and then you go on giving some imagery of your mind. Okay, it is subtler, subtler, subtler. Now it is, these sages were here today, they would have said, what is it? Go to this atom, subatomic particle, then go to the electron, neutron, and then go to the Higgs boson particle. Probably they were given the example. But those days, this is enough. To giving this example of the different seeds and finer and finer, and now the grosser and grosser, just you go. Nowadays on the YouTube, you can find so many beautiful Vedanta teachings. No? They give always, something is coming out every time. The position of earth with you. Who are you? What is the earth position? How minimum dot you are in comparison to the earth. Now earth position to Neptune, Pluto, and all these planets. And you go beyond, then sun. Look at sun and parallel balls. They put different size of balls, isn't it not? Have you not seen that in the YouTube? Very interesting. To know you are bigger, how big? How big? How big you can conceive? You go. Even the physical planetary world, what they show, it is unconceivably big. And now he says, this is nothing. Go to Duloka. Bhuloka, Duloka. So, and go beyond that. That is the magnitude of that reality. So, it is very beautiful to just put our mind to enhance our mind, its ability to think little higher, 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 higher that way, and to subtler, 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 subtler that way. Swami Vivekananda had the experience of that, no? In Kakri Ghat, near Almora, he was sitting under a tree and he meditated there, and after long meditation, he was excited with joy. And he expressed, today a great secret has been revealed unto me. And what is the secret? That which is in the microcosm, the same is the macrocosm. So micro and macro are not too different. What is here, that is there. So see the Upanishadic sages. That's why we call these Upanishads are the storehouse of infinite spiritual truth. And these are verified and verifiable. That's why we rely on Upanishad. You know, that it has been verified. Swami Vivekananda verified, and then you can verify, I can verify. But we have to be student, serious student. Not part-time job, full-time job. And full-time job is this one. How you can make your every day seeing things in the world and to that connect with the divine. No? So this is a very beautiful inspiration for us. So, this verse is also good for meditation. This third chapter 14.3. This is the verse. And we also talked about 3.13.7. Now, you know, how to bring your life more into spiritual mood. You see, make your life, it's a dedication to the divine. You feel that you are connected. Whatever you are doing, that has a meaning in life. It says, sajat asi siti. This thing that this life is like a yoga. This life like is a sacrifice. Sacrificial fire, you offer oblation with this mantra, with ghee, with clarified buttermilk and other items. So think that this life is a sacrifice going on. Every moment it is a sacrifice to the divine. Beautiful idea, jaggamai. It is called, make the life, your whole life is jagga. So it says, sajat asisiti, asisisi, jat pipashati, jat naramate, taosya diksha. We call diksha, initiation, no? Initiation called diksha. On the day of diksha, they say you fast, don't eat anything. And after, so when you are fasting in life, when you are thirsty, that it is, I am not performing the yoga, but this fasting is a part of the yoga. So this is an offering to God, as it were. Your fasting you do to please God, is it not? So it is a broto, upavas, whatever people do, no? Today fasting for this, I will not eat this, I will be only vegetarian, or I will only drink water, only drink juice. These are austerities. Take these austerities as an offering, as a yoga, as you are offering to God. So your this fasting becomes a spiritual uplifting condition, a mood brings in your mind that I am doing it and it is a part of my yoga, offering yoga. In early days, to have a home of fire, you need so many items to collect. But without collecting anything, suppose you are busy with your work or with something else and you have could not take food, think that I have done yoga today. This fasting is an offering to God. And thirst also. And then he say, that day, when you jadasnati, that day you got a good feast, jat pivati, good drinks, jat ramate, that is a very happy day, festive day. Think that upasadai eti, that is like upasad. Upasad means, after performing the ritual, home fire is done, what we do? We offer all these things, and now is the prasad. Then now is the eating time. So when you do that, you think that I have done the yoga, this is another phase of yoga. One phase of yoga is fasting. Being thirsty, many people say, I am fasting, I won't take a drop of water. Nirambu upavas, without drinking water. But after that, in our Belur Math, our swamis who are performing the puja, the Durga puja, you see in the nowadays in the television, you find it direct telecast. And when you see, they are doing worship, and these 3 days they are very austere. They will not eat any solid food, or sometimes take little fruits or something. Whole day, so much of worship going on, chanting mantra, naturally tiredness comes. They may drink some little juice or something. But at the end of the homofire, done on the 9th day, that means worship is over now. Then they break their fast. So when they go for breakfast, naturally all the mother's prasad is come. You get good sweets, you get good food and good everything. No? So you think when you are having that type of pleasure in your life, as if it is one phase of the yoga. One phase is fasting, another phase is enjoyment. Make everything a part of yoga. Atho jat hasati, when you are smiling. Jat jakshati, you are eating. Jat maithunam charati, when you are having fun. Stuta shastrai, in the eye of the scriptures. you say that you are performing, all these are part of your jagga. It is nothing non-spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Making the life spiritual. What Swamiji brought into the public picture, there is no distinction between secular and spiritual, that idea. And that is the beautiful thing. But that's why Swami Vivekananda said, I want to bring the spirituality or philosophy which is in the forest, to bring it and broadcast in the modern society. But Swamiji's language, you find this philosophy. Everything, offer it to God. Everything is, don't make separation that I'm non-spiritual this time. Normally we think, oh, I'm non-spiritual whole day. I'm going to my office. I'm working in cooking and in the kitchen. Or I'm cleaning these things. So I'm non-spiritual. When I'm spiritual, I'm sitting there. And though I am roaming around everywhere, but that's time I'm the spiritual person. So, but the Swamiji said, no. Make everything is your spiritual. So here is the Upanishad helping us to understand. Everything is spiritual. And you are doing some, at the home of fire, at the end of home of fire, you have to give some dakshina, no? Dakshina means offering. So Upanishad said, yat tapo danam arjavam ahimsa satya vachanam iti tausya dakshina. Dakshina means your pocket money you are to giving away. Your hard-earned money you are giving away. So what is the dakshina here? Offering. You see, yat tapo, the austerity you are doing, yat danam, the gift you are giving, arjavam, saralata, simplicity in life, what you are forming in your life. Spiritual people are all simple people, simple heart. So that simplicity and your ahimsa, the spirit of non-injury, satya vachanam, the truthful life you are leading, iti tausya dakshina. Think that you are doing as if you are offering a dakshina, a gift. After it is to be done, because jagga is such, you have to go through austerity, collect all this material, do the jagga with proper mantra and everything. Then you have to fast till then. When it ends, then you have to do this. It's a Nachiketa's father was giving dakshina, gift. Because you do jagga, that's why in Hindu tradition you see anywhere there is the puja. Feeding is a part of that. Dakshina. And feeding is only, it has turned to feeding. Previously it was Brahmin feeding. Meaning you have to give some money as also some food. Money and food too should be given. So that was the style. So it is say, look at your life like that. When you are having feast, enjoyment, you think that is a finishing up your jagga, or today's jagna. So you have come to eat food, good food. And now you are fasting, you are doing preparation of the jagga. When performing jagga, you are focused in the jagga. At the end, you are giving truthful is really austerity in life, no? Austerity of different type. To be very truthful is very difficult. To be very simple is very difficult. Because if you are too simple, people will take advantage. And also our mind does not allow us to be simple. It makes us crooked always. Simple thing, how to say? I will say like this. Why not Baba says this? If I say, then I will be in trouble. So people don't say the truth. Simple. So these are austerities. But take these as your dakshina, you are offering it. So these are the beautiful. And maranam, I end with maranam. Tasma tahu shashyati asvasprayiti puna asatat utpadanam maranam eva avabhrit. From birth, tasma tahu shashyati. People say, oh, mother has given birth to the child. So, this is one part of journey. Asyashtayiti, yes, mother has, this child is born now. Puna asyatat utpadanam maranam eva. So now, at the end, when death comes, take it as returning home. When you are come into the world to be your presence, that you are leaving this body means you are going to your abode. So think that from birth to death, everything is jagga. So to look at death in this grandeur, in the way of this grand view, is really the glory of Indian spiritual tradition, as at the end of when someone dies in Hindu tradition, what they do? They give them the body is given a good bath or sprinkle Ganges water. Then you put on a new clothing on the body of the departed. Is it not? In sadhus we do. Sadhus we take a bath and then Ganges water and then put new Gerua cloth, orange, this Gerua clothing, and then give a begging bowl. And he was going to a new journey. Just a journey to the new, another realm. So take, death is not to be something frightening. It's a new journey into the new life. So prepare that. That's why you give some fruits as the sadhus go on begging. So in their begging jhola, they make out of the cloth, we make some begging container of. So there you put some fruits and other things, and then put all the sandal paste, no? And decorate, and then offer flower, etc. And wave incense, and buy, and then put into the fire. It's a beautiful journey to release from this body. So take it as a last grand journey. Death is the grand journey to the new life. So like the whole life from birth to death, everything is jagga, 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 or it's a sacrificial fire, and with that spirit move on and see everything is filled with Brahman in that. So this is the upasana. So I only touch the third chapter, few verses. So I'll try to next time. It's now 12 o'clock. It is your questioning time. So we'll do that again in the next half, another some few verses. But this is giving a good idea of upasana, how to look at the life. That is upasana. This birth, this growth, this death. And death is the grand journey to the infinite. So what a, not to be scared about that. What we mostly think that death is a bad thing, but in this spirit, this is a journey, because it, as a jagga, starts with the beginning to the end, so this is also beginning to the end. So now you people are for having some questions, what we read. Yes, yes. Oh, that they are talking about the what is the within. And sukshma means, this is the gross. Sukshma means subtle, as we know. Subtle means what? It is finer. It is finer body. What is the fine body? The finer body. And that simple example is that when we dream, there is a body. And that body is called subtle body. Sukshma sarira. Sthula, so this is called sthula, the gross. Through this gross body, it is made of the gross elements. Five elements. We eat food, we drink water, we breathe oxygen, we take calorie in, prana shakti, anna, prana, mana. Khiti of tej marut bom. Space, I am acquiring some space. These five elements, gross elements. So I am experiencing this world, of gross world, with the gross body, the gross eyes, the gross ears, no? So these are all related in the gross level called panchabhuta, five element. And this body is made five element, this whole universe is made of five element. So it is interaction going on there. Sukshma means, suppose when we are sleeping in the bed, our body is in the bed, this body, which is the gross body, but I am dreaming something. When I am dreaming, I have another body, is it not? And you are a part of the many created bodies there. There may be 20 friends are there. You are meeting them. You are talking to them. or you are in a strange environment, you are fearful there, but you are there. So your body is made of what? Which body is that body? That is called the Sukshma body. It is created by the mind and mind's impressions. So in that body, you have all the experiences like that here. There also you can eat food. There you can go to restaurant. There you can have singing, music going on. There may be a travel in the car or in a train you are going or in a plane you are going. So everything is created not in the gross. Suppose if I sit there when someone is dreaming like that he went to certain airport and there a plane started with so many hundreds of people and they're all entered into the plane and plane flew into... Shall I see anything? Suppose you are dreaming and I am sitting close to you. I will not see anything. But you are seeing something in a subtle level. That is called the... And that all the activities are going on in the subtle body. But that subtle body is made... How? What is the constituent? Our scriptures say it is like the same physical body. Here the physical air, physical water, physical your energy, calorie, physical space. So similarly, there is subtle world of all realities. There when you drink water, you will find there is a glass and you are drinking water there also. And that also removing your thirst. Dream water, you are removing your dream thirst. Dream body has dream fear. Your body is quite safe. In the dream, you may feel that someone is attacking you. And you are running away to save yourself. So the dream world, dream people, dream car, everything dream. So it is called the subtle. And there is another called causal. When you go to sleep, then you are not dreaming. You don't feel about this body, neither you feel your dream body, because mind is also now resting. But you don't die. You say, I had a good sleep. So that is, you live in your eye consciousness only. So that is called the causal body. And behind that body is the Atman. That's why he's just trying to pull our attention into the inner, gradually. If we go to the one step, naturally the question will come, what's next? That will be very natural. Our questioning comes, no. If someone guides you, okay, go from here to the metro station. So you go up to a certain point, if you give one direction, you take a left turn here and move for 1 mile or something like that. Given one instruction, so you go to the first instruction, then you take the next instruction. If you feel that I have come to a certain point, I do not know where to go, you ask then another question to people. So this is a journey, inward journey. We start at one point and then we move into another and deeper and deeper. Then that Atman, that which is outside, that is inside will come. Vedanta says panchakosha vichar. That's a discrimination of the five different levels of our coverings of on the Atman.
I have a lot of questions, but I'm only going to ask you one.
Acha.
There isn't anything more than that, is there? And you can't go any higher than that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this, depending on how you explain it, how you understand it. Om, it says that Om iti etat sarvam. Om is all these, whatever you can think, see, feel, that is Om. But the Om is a sound, no? Normally to us, Om is a sound. But Om has a theme also, what it represents. Sound is a symbol. Say, if I say the rose, one word as a sound, you see, As soon as I say rose, it is creating some impression in your mind. So it is called, every sound has a subject of it, which it represents. A chair. As soon as you say chair, see, the form of chair is coming into the mind. So form and name go together. So the sound, when you utter a sound, it indicates certain object. And what is that object? Om is the symbol of infinite Brahman. So that is the way that Mandukya Upanishad deals with that entirely. They say that on Mandukya Upanishad says, Auma. You see, it starts here. Rolls like that. And it comes out to the lips. And when you end it, then shut your mouth, then it still continues vibration. So, Om is made of the four letters. O as A. That's why Swamiji explained it this way. Om is the sound symbol of all religious traditions. You cannot utter a single word without chanting that Om. Meaning, I think that it is the procedure through which you do chant any word. You see, any word you are saying, any sound you are declaring, it starts from here, is it not? No? It rolls the palate like thing. Ooh, comes out here. Then continues. That last part is called the bindu, dot, which is transcendental reality. So it is said O, U, and M, A, U, M. These three words are symbolic of the gross universe, subtle universe, and the causal universe. That means, and the last part, after ending with M, that continues, that is called the Trikala Atita, beyond all time, all space, beyond all a description. So these four letters comprise what is called Om. But this is indicative of that infinite Brahman. It says that the gross universe, sometimes it is said subtle universe, add with that, and the causal universe, and that which is beyond, if you all take together, that is Om. That means nothing but Brahman. So it is indicated, Om is a word indicative of infinity. And Om is also used for many purposes. Om is used for anything auspicious. In the Himalayan range, if you go, and once monk greeting another monk, say, Om, Om. How are you, sir? How are you? And you respond, Om. Meaning, I'm okay. And they don't use other mundane words. Rather, they try to raise their consciousness in a higher level, probably. Then that's why they use the word Om. So Om is for any auspicious work we start, that also Om. So that's why any mantra we chant, we say Om, Sthapukaya cha dharmasya, even any mantra, Om Jananim Sharadam Devim, Om. See, any mantra you chant, you start with Om. Om is the symbol of auspiciousness also. And ultimately, Om is more of the infinite nature of Brahman. It takes a long time to get into it. Though we talk about that, we have no conception. But it is to be meditated upon, yeah. It is teaching us to see death in a different perspective. So if you think that it is only entering into another realm, then it is not to be frightened. But it didn't say that you should not cry. Here is the subject to look upon death in this new way, to observe death in a challenging way, to see that how joyful is it. After the whole life's journey, you have done enough of work, gone through enough of experience. Now it is the last part of the journey. So mrityu, death, is a transformation from one to the other. you know, really, intellectually we all can understand that death is nothing. Because where is my youth of 20 years age? All of us sitting over here. Who is under 20 here? I don't think anyone is here. So, are we crying for that? Why not? You should cry. It is dead. It is gone. Never to come back in your life. But we accept it because 20th year is gone, but 21st year has started. Then you go, the life is going on. Every day we are dying. Every second we are dying. But we are not crying because we see, apparently, that there is a continuum of the body. But we do not know, body is nothing. There is something behind your mind, your other things also, called the subtle body. So that is continuing. So why are you crying? Because I am not in the body before, no? Before my birth, I was not in the body. So you entered into the body. You entered into a car. And you are going to the coast-to-coast journey. So it is taking long time, days, here and there, and then you are in the car. And then we have got affinity with the car, no? Though the car is not the same, when you first started your journey, it was fresh, new car, rented car. But it has already, its wheel has moved so much, its wear and tear is there, 2,000 miles, 3,000 miles driving, no? It's a body is driving 100,000, some is 100 years, some is 60 years, some is 90 years, no? The body is, this engine is running and running and wear and tear is going on. And one time it comes, this body does not work. So, thank you body, you have given me enough service. Now you take your rest, I am going to purchase another car. So there is no fear, there should not be any fear. If we know that this, what is going on in reality, and we are accepting, now I am accepting. I am not crying for my 60 years age, not crying for my 70 years age. I am crying for, oh my God, if I die now, then where shall I go? You are always dying, you never cried in your life. When a crawling boy stands up, does he cry, oh my crawling state is gone? And then he goes to school, the grade school, and then he cries, my school days, grade was so good, I am going to high school. They don't cry. So we don't cry in any place. Because we think we are continuing. And apparently we don't see that continuity here at the point of death. That's why we feel troubled. But with this spirit, and if it is inevitable, also another science is that it is inevitable. If birth is inevitable, birth is there, death is inevitable. So then how to look at the death and how we can be free? You know, that is the point. We are frightened for losing things. It is human nature. We don't want to lose anything. Rather, we want to gain. So this losing thing always creates a fear in our mind. But this is the training, how we look at our losing, apparent losing. It is not loss, but it is a journey, continuous journey. Till we get out of this any attachment to any car, whatever, good car, bad car, trouble is always there.
So I learned something new from this, a rental car.
Yeah. If we think, I gave you the other time that story, this body is like, they say, there is a Hindi couplet. They say that, Deho dharam sala karo. They say that, you know, pran vayu mala karo. You are thinking that you will sit certain time and meditate. Don't do that. Let your breath be your pran. This prana, this is prana. This prana vayu, the flow of the air, make it as your rosary. You don't need another rosary. Take the mantra. Take mantra. So if practice like that, every breath will be mantra. So what's the need of another rosary? Let practice in such a way that every in and out of your breath will be mantra. Pran vayu mala karo. Tala karo pyan. Tan mane pran means the energy of the senses. Control the senses. Let not be a slave of your senses. You say what you want, allow that. You don't allow, okay, I won't allow you. Stop. You will be the master there, not your mind or senses. And deho dharamsala karo. This is a wonderful idea. To think that this body is dharamsala, in. We travel, as I give the example of east coast to west coast. Suppose you are traveling such long distance, after tired whole days driving, what do? You find a rental place or one night stay, no? Or if you are too tired, you will stay two nights, no? You can enjoy, it's a beautiful place, I'll see the things, scenario here. So 1 week you can stay, but that is a motel. So this body is a motel. But motel is booked for a few days, no? Unless you have enough money, you book the car with credit card and you have no money, then they will say, I love you very much, but get out. So similarly, this Jam Devata, the death, god of death will come and say, okay, your dues are over, get out. So the body out. Yes, please. Oh, God is a technical term. We are using, we have to understand the God as we used in the normal conventional God, that we cannot be God. Never. Nothing is God. It is consciousness. It is Brahman. God is a personalized aspect of the Absolute. But what we mean by God occasionally, by wrongly saying, it is the impersonal Infinite, that we mean by God, word God. That has nothing to do, that does not go anywhere, that does not come anyway. But we, the soul, who is moving in our life's journey, to understand that reality, we go through personal God. And through that personal God, we go to the impersonal. So we say God is everywhere, meaning it is as God means consciousness, bliss and joy everywhere. I cannot be God. A little tiny, Swami Vivekananda gave the example, a tiny ant made of clay cannot claim that it is one with the big tiger or big elephant made of clay. Big elephant is big elephant. Cannot be big elephant. That is the really our vocabulary is really weak. That's why we create confusion. I was asked this question in an interfaith meeting. And there was one Catholic priest. He invited me to speak in their church. And where other interfaith people were there. So when I said, as I described, sometimes in my word, God has come out maybe. And then he protested it. How come you say that you are God? I said, no. If you have understood that way, that is very wrong. I cannot be God. God has the power of creation, sustenance, maintenance, everything. That power is not with you. You may be H2O, but you are not the big wave, a particle, a drop. A drop and wave, it is a question of manifestation. But H2O is common in both places. So this consciousness, and then I gave this example of what I am giving you now, and then he said, no, but still, how can I believe that I am that? I said, yes, Christ said, what about that? I and my Father are one, what about that? Then he could not say anything. He was arguing before or putting some questions, but when it go to that far, that what about that when I and my Father are one, meaning what? here, not the I, the man, and God, the personal God, no personal in the range of personality. It is an impersonal level, I, as we read just now, Yanta, who is in the inner recess, the minutest than the minute, or the finer than the finest, and that which is the cosmic reality. So these are two are one. That aspect is to be understood. I am not God, but I am Brahman. I am Atman. That's the distinction. Does it make sense? That's true. That's true. Yeah. It is not projection, but who am I then?
Yeah. In the other way, you could say the soul is a projection of Atman.
You can say that, but Atman and Brahman are same.
Okay.
Yeah. So these two projection. So long I am in projection, I am using the higher projection, and through that projection you want to touch, or in your meditation you go to this small projection. Behind that, what is the light behind this projection? On the cosmic level also, you penetrate through the cosmos and go to the background of that, what is there in the God concept. So in both ways it matches. If you go to the gross universe and penetrate into that reality and go behind, that is the cosmic consciousness, cosmic blessedness and absolute reality. And dive deep, this small projection. Dive deep. It is the small S turning into big S. Yeah? So, and here God turning into Brahman. So, self and Brahman, Atman and Brahman are same. That's the point. So, I think it matches there. Okay, thank you.